Welcome to On Texas Football. It's time for our weekly edition of the State of the Program with InsideTexas.com publisher Eric Nahlin. Eric, Longhorns yesterday finishing off their recruiting class, for the most part, it looks like, with the 25th commitment of the campaign in Warren Roberson out of Red Oak. What do you think Roberson's pledge means to Texas, and what do you think it says about Steve Sarkisian and his time in Austin so far as a recruiter?
Well, if they're going to take a guy that they view as a pure safety, it says a lot about them, because they're not super high on pure safeties. They would rather take, you know, athletic defensive backs that are versatile and smart and tough, and then eventually move them to safety if that's the best course. If they, you know, if there's a log jam at that corner or nickel, then they'll go to safety. So if they see a guy that's more of a pure safety than anything, it says a lot. But, you know, he's got ball hawk ability. He's a pretty athletic guy. He's a three-phase player in high school. He's kind of got some similarities to Jordan Whittington. You know, most people thought Jordan Whittington would be a safety until he put his foot down and said he'd be a wide receiver. You know, he's got good hands, good wide receiver, just an all-around really good football player. And a lot of times those guys' instinctive overall football play really translates to safety.
Hold that thought, because I want to come back to that and ask you what it means for Steve Sarkisian in his class, because I wrote something on Inside Texas today talking about what I think is becoming a pretty formidable recruiting staff right now for the Longhorns. First, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients. Whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any serious or catastrophic injury, Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today at 512-280-0800 or reach him online if you just want to test the waters about something. LowyLawFirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. You know, what do you think this says about Texas and what Steve Sarkisian has built as a staff of recruiters? Because Blake Gideon was the lead recruiter on this one. Mm-hmm. Bo Davis is a proven recruiter. Kyle Flood, last year's class, speaks for itself. Tashard Choice brings in the nation's number one running back. Jeff Choate absolutely kills it at linebacker this year. Terry Joseph is a proven recruiter. A guy like Derek Williams out of Louisiana. You know, it seems like he's getting guys and has gotten guys that are active recruiters across the board and successful ones.
Yeah, you know, I wrote an article a couple weeks ago that highlighted that fact. And, you know, the context was that they've landed a five-star at every position outside of D-line or edge. You know, so everybody's got a five-star, at least maybe not a consensus five-star, but a player that was at least rated by a five-star by one network. So that just tells you that the overall staff is recruiting at a high level. And you're right. I think people sleep on Terry Joseph a little bit. He had a hand in Malik Muhammad. You know, he's the guy, he was the main reason they got Terrence Brooks last year. So, I mean, it's a very good recruiting staff across the board. You know, I want to write something going forward about that Sark, you know, did a good job nailing this first staff. You know, they've only had Stan Drayton left to be a head coach, Brendan Marion left to be OC, and then the one guy that was actually, you know, terminated and then didn't actually rise up was Andre Coleman. And so that tells you, you know, quite a bit about that staff, you know, and I think that, you know, we saw on-field results, but we also see him in recruiting as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I just feel like the best staffs tend not to be too top heavy with one or two guys being great recruiters. Yeah. And it seems like they're getting and that goes back not only to the guys you hire, but also the management of that staff, whether that's from the personnel director, a guy like Billy Glasscock or Brandon Harris or Sark himself. It feels like they're spreading out the responsibility as opposed to being so reliant just on one or two haymakers, right?
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Rainmakers, you know, is a better word, not haymakers.
Yeah, rainmakers. Yeah, the rainmakers are throwing haymakers on the recruiting trail.
Yeah.
it's hard to find good coaches. And to me, a good coach is someone that can coach on the field, but also recruit, you know, at least hold his own. You know, most coaches are one or the other, or a lot of them are. This is a staff that are at least good coaches and at least good recruiters. Some of them are great in one of the regards, but there's not really a weak spot on the whole staff.
Got it. Speaking with Eric Nahlin, publisher of InsideTexas.com. Eric, we look at this week, and since we last talked, the news came out on Friday about the Big 12 potentially nixing an early move to Texas, or by Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC in 2024. You and I have been pretty adamant that we believe it's 2024. I still believe it's 2024. What do you believe?
Yeah, I still believe it's 2024 as well. You know, we're trying to be the flies on the wall we can on this, but it's convoluted. There's a whole lot of moving parts. There's a lot of people involved, and the more interested people involved, the more lawyers that are involved. There's a lot of money involved, and so you know that explains the lawyers. I woke up to some phone calls this morning, and they made me more optimistic. Something will get done that is trending in the right direction. I don't think talks ever truly broke down or got as dire as it was made out to be last week. You said that. I've said that. I think things are trending well, but there's still a hurdle or two. And, you know, financials are going to play a very big part in it. But I still believe, based on calls I've had this morning, that it'll be 2024, but it's not going to be easy. People are going to have to want to get it done, but I think it's actually going to end up being in everybody's interest to make it happen. And when you have that convergence of interests, usually good things happen.
So Texas, correct me if or not, one of the things that we think is playing a role here is that Fox has the Big Ten rights, correct?
Yep.
And Texas has home and homes coming up with both Michigan and Ohio State. Is that playing a pseudo role here? Because if they move to the SEC, Texas might not keep that home and home, right? I mean, right. Or at least with both of them. And Fox then gets left out on a big one, a big out-of-conference early season slate that would definitely be their game of the week. Do you see that as the big, big ask from Fox? Or is it more about just straight money and getting more of their existing properties, especially from the Big 12, extra games against Texas at home, whether it's Texas Tech hosting Texas or Baylor hosting Texas or whomever?
Yeah, I don't think Texas wants to pay, you know, cash. I think any financial considerations will come in the form of games being played, you know. And I don't want to get out over my skis on talking about this stuff because, man, it's a hard one to cover. Yeah. It's definitely not my expertise. But, you know, a month ago, there was a lot of talk that Michigan and Ohio State might not happen. And now there's more talk that they will stay on the schedule. And if that's the case, I think we can draw pretty obvious conclusions there that's part of a negotiating package to get out.
All right. Eric Nahlin, publisher, Inside Texas. You broke a little news last night that I want to go over. But first, I want to hit one of our sponsors for this week only for a very big reason, and that is MyBookie.com. Want to take a minute to say thank you to one of our sponsors this week, talking about the big game itself, the Super Bowl. Coming in to sponsor On Texas Football is MyBookie. You asked for it, and they listened. MyBookie designed a unique deposit bonus that lets you cash in and cash out quick. This is a unique deposit bonus for sports bettors who want to focus on what to bet and not a payout sweat. Make your first deposit today with promo code TEXASFB, wager your deposit amount once, and you're eligible to cash out. If you want a sports book that gives you the most for your money, bet on the big game this weekend with MyBookie. Pre-game, live lines, and Super Bowl props. Bet everything from the opening coin toss to the length of the national anthem. I know there's some crazy people out there that like to do that kind of stuff, to the color of the Gatorade that is dumped on the winning coach. I can't tell you exactly who's going to win the Super Bowl, but I can tell you where you should be placing your bets. MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Before the Super Bowl, should be interesting. Chiefs or the Eagles, you never know who's going to win it, but there's a chance for you to win as well. That's it for MyBookie.com. All right. I have never advertised for a gambling place before. That was a first, but at the same time, I've got the Chiefs this weekend. I'm going with the quarterback from White House, Texas. Hey,
yeah,
Eric.
I got to go with the Eagles on that. Yeah, I don't really care who wins. The Niners lost, and, you know, they're down to their third or fourth quarterback at that time. It didn't really matter anymore. But I think the Eagles are a bit of a team of destiny this season. You know, we'll see.
They've got the defense, that's for sure. Yeah. They have built something special on D. Hey, Eric, the question that I had for you next, it dealt with something you and Justin Wells reported on Inside Texas late last night, and that is Savion Redd, the sophomore from Grand Prairie, has apparently moved positions. He got some action at wide receiver last year and showed pretty well at times, but he has apparently moved to running back for spring practice as soon as yesterday that move occurred. What do you make of that? Could he be cross training? What's the thought process here?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. If you look at roster needs versus his skill set, it makes a lot of sense. He ran for about 1,400 yards coming out of high school. And, you know, that was always part of the evaluation that he might be a running back. We knew he wanted to play wide receiver, and we knew he played it a lot more as a junior than he did as a senior. And he had good hands. But he's a quicker than fast guy. And a lot of times that translates better to running back, especially when you have a body type like him. I think he's going to be good through contact. He's going to have toughness about him. Maybe an edgier Rashawn Johnson, but they need a short yardage guy. He might be able to fill that pretty quickly. You know, he does have experience at the position, like we said. I could see him getting touches in that way and in the passing game as well. touches are something that he's going to want. You know, we've seen how fiery he is on the side when his name's not being called. So hopefully he can carve out a niche, but he definitely fits. He definitely fits what they're looking for. And then at wide receiver, you know, you got a guy like, you know, they probably know right now they need to get Jonte Cook on the field. You'll have Jordan Whittington as a sort of that slot machine. But, you know, when you want to go vertical, Jordan's not exactly your guy. You put Cook there and you can start cooking pretty quick. And then also it opens the door up for Brennan Thompson to get some be that vertical slot as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought Savion Redd showed a little something. He's got some tenacity to him, right? Yeah. He's a guy that plays through the whistle. And I felt like that receiver group may have needed that from a young guy last year. And he provided it, not necessarily all too often, but, you know, I think he had a couple catches against Kansas State. And, you know, he always seemed to make the most of his yardage. What is the comparison and why do you move him to running back? Are you worried about Jaden Blue possibly transferring out at midterm? Is there a need at the position? Because Jonathan Brooks isn't necessarily that guy. Keelan Robinson's going to be in his final year in that kind of role. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, two things. You know, even on those his limited receptions, you saw some running back ability with it. You know, he would get tough yards, or he would make somebody miss in close quarters, even though he's, you know, 210 pounds. You know, now they'll probably take his body in a different direction. We might see him up around 218 pounds by the time September comes around. You know, they're not going to be as concerned about keeping him lighter. But I thought there was a roster need. You know, we were talking about it during the portal window that they could use a running back. And I think it makes perfect sense. You know, they need another bigger body, somebody that can profile to running between the tackles, which I believe he can do. Cedric Baxter is really the only proven guy. And when I say proven, it's proven on the high school level that can do that. Now, Cedric's going to translate to college. There's no doubt about that. But he hasn't done it yet. Savion Redd hasn't done it yet, but you know he'll get his college reps over the course of the spring. So the move makes sense to do it right now. Doing it, you know, after spring would have made a lot less sense. So he can do it. I know he can do it, and the roster needs it. And you know, there's more receivers that can play slot than probably bigger running backs that can move the pile and get you that short yardage, those tough yards. Now we'll see if he has that skill. Inside running is a bit of a skill, especially in short yardage. You've got to be assertive, and you have to have good vision. A lot of guys run straight into the backs of others and then get stopped, and that's not what you're looking for.
I will say this about him. He's not the biggest guy.
He's got some size to him. Yeah. He's not tall, but he's got – if you looked at him, you would think more running back than wide receiver.
Well, here's my point, though, that I would say. He finishes every play, not unlike – and I'm not going to compare him from a leadership perspective to Roschon Johnson.
Right.
Yeah. Roschon Johnson got every last bit of yardage he could possibly get. Savion Redd as a receiver actually did that, in my opinion.
Well, he's got a tenacity about him, and you have to have that. You have to play through contract. You know, what I joked about in the text was, you know, Rashawn will lift you up with words of encouragement, and he'll lift you up with rights and lefts of encouragement. You know, he's a very competitive guy. He's always been like that going back to high school, and it didn't matter what sport he was playing. If it was basketball, he's like that. And so running back, really, I think it fits his temperament. I think it fits his skill set. It fits the roster need.
Eric, we look at this group less than a month out now from when Texas starts spring practice. It's already one position move. You know, have you heard anything else that really strikes you about the program right now as they head into really this next 4 weeks before they start spring practice?
Yeah, I don't want to make too much of it, but, you know, they're doing that team-wide competition designed to cultivate competitiveness and accountability. And Quinn Ewers' team is in the lead right now. So you don't want to blow that out of proportion. But, you know, when it comes to Quinn, we're going to collect as many data points as we can. We're not going to make much out of each individual one, but it's like a mosaic. You know, put them all up on the board, and then let's see what our opinion is after the spring. My guess is that we're going to be, you know, back to being as excited about them this spring as we were last spring.
I want to talk a little basketball and ask you about the basketball coach. First, need to say thank you one last time to our sponsor, Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. The Lowy Law Firm specializes in results for his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any serious or catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam today, 512-280-0800, or reach him online at lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results. Eric, Texas leading the Big 12 right now in basketball. The question that I think everybody has beyond whether or not just how good this Texas basketball team will finish this season. More than one publication has now come out and said Texas is a shoe-in for the tournament. They may be as high as a 2 or 3 seed. Yeah. Look, they're going to get to the tournament, whether that's as a 2 or as a 6 or 7. Who knows? That's really to play out here in the next month and a half. As it looks to you, where and what are you hearing about Rodney Terry, the head coach, potentially keeping the job beyond this season?
Funny you should ask. I was talking to somebody this morning about that. You know, I think if he makes the Elite Eight, he's going to be the Texas coach next year, and, you know, maybe on a shorter contract that rewards him more for this than maybe what they expect going forward. But, you know, they're not going to fire a guy that kept his team together through all that adversity, and then really achieved a result that they might have achieved with Beard. You know, there's no guarantee they would have gone higher than the Elite Eight with Chris Beard. Everybody knows how crazy the tournament is. Sweet 16 might get a little more interesting, but I do have Rodney Terry on watch to return, depending on how the season plays out. And you know, if they make the Elite Eight, it's, to me, that's every bit as impressive as them making the Final Four with Beard. You know, I mean, that'd be a crazy result. They show a lot of heart. You know, that's a lot of times coaches are retained or removed based on how their team responds to them. And clearly this team has responded very well to Rodney Terry.
Yeah. And they seem to like him. I think that's
I think that matters a little. I mean, the locker room does matter, but you never want your players making these decisions. These are kids that haven't really made a lot of tough decisions in their life. How they respond to them, you know, that effort matters a whole lot more than whether or not they like them. Because you can get effort out of guys that don't necessarily like you. I don't think all of Nick Saban's players like him.
I don't think everybody liked Bobby Knight either. Right. I mean, I agree with you.
They're playing hard. And, you know, the likability might help because you're going to have more people advocating for them at that point. And you always want advocates in a tough situation like that. But, man, if they keep responding the way they have and have some, you know, maybe a bounce back wins and go on another little streak here, you know, that recent run they had was very impressive. So kudos to Ronnie Terry, man. He's really earned my respect.
Yeah, I think he's earned my respect too, because it's so hard picking up. I mean, just a devastating situation personally and professionally for Chris Beard, who was well-liked, who was one of us, so to speak, as a Texas grad, right? And Rodney Terry slowly but surely has put the pieces back together. Humpty Dumpty fell down, and he put them back together, and now they're playing hard every night and having some real success.
Yeah, he was in a tough position. I don't think people realize how difficult his spot was. You know, he's sitting there focused on certain aspects of the game, not program management and not looking at the upcoming game in the same exact way as the head coach. It's just an entirely different job. There's a reason why people get weeded out from going up from assistant coach to head coach. And he flipped the switch pretty quickly. And, you know, I think the first game after Beard left, it was Rice, and they didn't look all that great. And everybody got a little worried. And then, you know, things got off and running. It's very impressive what he's done. And, you know, I hope they make the Elite Eight because I think it's a good story.
Yep, I do too. All right, Eric, thank you for being involved here with On Texas Football, the state of the program. Eric Nahlin, publisher of InsideTexas.com. Please visit us at InsideTexas.com. We're there each and every day, 24 hours a day, it seems like.
Yeah, as well.
Hey, Eric, best of luck. I thought that was a pretty good, action-packed, informative episode. Be good, man.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you for watching. For more videos on Texas football, recruiting, and other sports, make sure you click the like button and subscribe to the channel to get the very latest updates. Thank you for watching again, and hook 'em.